All right.
No pun intended.
So we have a sugya over here. You know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Very interesting Gemara. Gemara says like this. Moshe got up. And he went to Dasan Avirim. Amar Shlokesh Mikansha in Machazikim Machloikis. One should not hold on to or maintain a Machloikis. Amar Rav. Rav Seiko Hamachzikim Machloikis. Whoever maintains a Machloikis, Oyvir Belav. Is transgressing a lav, shnemar like it says, v'lo'yech koyach u'chadosei, and it shall not be like koyach and his eda. So seemingly Rav takes it as a lav. You're not allowed to imitate the actions of koyach and company. Rav Ashi Omar Roy litztareya. Rav Ashi says he's fit to get sarask. Sivocha biyad moisha loy. Pasuk over here by koyach says v'lo'yech koyach u'chadosei kasher tziva Hashem biyad moisha loy. And through the hand of Moshe to him. And it says over there in Parsha Shemais, Hashem said to Moshe, further, bring your hand into your bosom. And of course, Moshe's arm came out with saras. Rabbi Yossi says, whoever.
Rabbi Fleischer.
Yes.
Excuse me for 1 second. Is everyone else not being able to see? The sources are frozen, so I'm only on the first page. I can't.
Oh, really?
Is anyone else able to see the sources?
No, I cannot.
Okay.
You're frozen?
It's only, it just says almost.
Okay, I see. Okay. For some reason, it decided to. Is it better now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, it decided to pause sharing. I'm not sure why. I didn't notice it. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know. Okay, so the Gemara then goes off onto a separate topic within our discussion today. Whoever argues or is chaylik on the Malchus Beis David, Roy Lakish and Nochosh, is fit to be bitten by a snake. Ksival Chavizbach Adoniyot and Uvokar Umriim Eben Hazichala and Eben Hazicheles Adoniyot, who attempted to usurp the monarchy from Shlomo to himself, says when he threw a big party. In an attempt to basically have himself coronated. And it says, so the Gemara connects the word Zeichel with Zeicheles. Okay? Whoever argues or fights on his Rebbe is like he's fighting with the Shechina. It says by Dasan Avdir and Parshas Ekev, when they argued on Hashem, in Parshas Pinchas. Okay, and that's talking about when they argued on Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says that they fought against Hashem. Okay, we'll see later. Obviously, it doesn't mean that you're chaylik like in halacha. It means when you're being chaylik on his very essence. Okay, but that is the Gemara. Now, the question we're going to have to examine over here is what exactly is the nature of this lav? What seems the Gemara is saying a lav to have a machloikis. We're going to see that it's no simple matter that it's actually a lav, and there's actually a number of opinions on the matter. So let's start.
Isn't it just the famous Mishnah of Shalosh Shemayim versus, what's it called? The famous Pirkei Avos. L'shem Shemayim versus Shalosh L'shem Shemayim.
Yeah, we got there. But that doesn't make it a lav. That just makes it a famous Mishnah.
No, I get it. But I'm saying that's what defines whether you can do it or not.
We'll have to see. The question will become, if it's a general lav to have a machlekes, why are you even allowed to have a machlekes L'shem Shemayim?
Because sometimes you have to, sometimes you stand up for what's right, or you have to do.
Okay, so we'll have to see. Again, the question is.
It's also based on the definition, L'shem Shemayim. You're doing it in Hashem.
Okay, we'll have to see. Because again, you know, you tell me all the shtickle clear in the world, the mashmoz is that you can't make a machlekes, period. So you can have the best intentions in the world, but you know what the. But you know what the road to hold on a second here. You know what the road to Gehenna is paved with. All right. I'm getting an echo over here. Is anyone else getting that echo as well? Oh, now it's better. Okay. All right. Says the Meiri. Good morning, Rabbi Yossi.
Good morning.
Even though, I'm sorry, even though machlekes in general is a despised and despicable thing, and as a derech ha'ara, very interesting terminology, they said that it's a lav. Then he's especially despised. Okay? So the Meiri, what is relevant to us over here, is that he says, Derech Ha'ara, Amru Alav Shu B'Lav. Derech Ha'ara sounds like it's not really a love, it's just like a way of pointing out the severity of Machlekes, but not that it's actually a love, strictly speaking. Okay, so that is something that we see over here from the Gemara, and that's or from the Meiri, that's going to come up again. What's as that? We move along over here. I'm getting someone over here.
I said.
Okay, there we go. So that brings us to the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah says like this. The Rambam, those who are familiar with Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam has a lengthy introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs where he discusses how he defines a mitzvah versus what's not included in the mitzvahs, and how he counted his 613 mitzvahs. Okay, and he has a whole bunch of rules. And one of them he discusses what he calls a shlila versus an azhara. A shlila basically means that it's just expressing something that will not happen or should not happen, but not something that's necessarily a lav per se. So he says, "V'yatzmi inyan hashlila." Sorry, "V'ein roi sheyifur shezeh b'shnemar loyumsu v'yatzmi inyan hashlila l'inyan azhara." And whatever the pasuk he's talking about over there, it's talking about over there. No, let's just go to the top so we have clarity. "V'hen amroi loyumsu kiloichu pasha," talking about a man who is boil, a shivcha charufa, who is not freed. So even though she's designated to someone else, because she didn't have kedushin, there's no chiv misa. Ze gam ken shlila lo yazhara. That term, that lo yumsa, they shall not die, those who had the relationship, the shivcha and the man, it's not an azhar, it's not a lav, they shall not die. Rather, it's a shlila. This is something that should not happen. They shouldn't die, but it's not a lav. Terry is just saying that they're not chayiv misa because the freedom of the shivcha was not complete. He's going with the shita that she's half free and half slave. And basically, it's not fitting that we should say that this pasuk is leaving the category of a shlila, just an expression of negativity, to become an azhara, full fledged lav. Similar to when the Torah says, the Nara does not have a sin of death. The Torah is not giving a lav, it's just saying, because she was forcibly assaulted. This pasuk of Haina, of these psukim, of loyumsu kilechu pasha, the Torah is just removing the chiyuv of misa b'avur avdus because she's a slave. It's the same thing as the Torah would say, they don't have a sin that's liable to death because she was not free. Now we get to what is relevant to us. When the Torah says, and there shall not be like koyach and his eda, that is a shlila. It's an expression of there will not be. Not that it's a lav per se. What is the pshat that Hashem is telling us? Whoever argues on the kahuna, challenges the kahuna, and will start up with it. It will not occur to him what occurred to Kayach and his Edom in Abliya Vasrefa. That, in other words, the Torah is saying that future challengers to the kahuna will not be swallowed up and or burned as were Kayach and his Eidah. However, as the pasuk concludes, his punishment will be as Hashem spoke in the hand of Moshe. Tzaras, meaning tzaras. Like we saw the Gemara, draws Xer Shava from Havin Ayodcha Bechakecha. From Uziah, who was the king of Yehuda, who got a little too full of himself and decided he wanted to be Kohen Gadol, and when he tried to do so, he got Saras. So the Rambam clearly learns that this is not a lav, it's just a statement that what happened to Korach will not happen again in the future to future challengers to the Kahuna, rather they will get Saras instead. The Apal Bishan Matzanu Lohem Loshan Acher Begemar Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to say otherwise. Who Amram Zal Kol Machzik B'Machloikis Oyver B'Loy Saseh. The Gemara there says that whoever holds on to a Machloikis transgresses a Lav. Shemar B'Loyach Chakayach Uchadosai. Says the Rambam. Excuse me. Vizeh Al Saro Asmachto. That's an Asmachto. B'Loy Sheyeh Pashto Dekro B'Kamon Azayis. But it's not the Pashtos of the Pasuk. So that is the Rambam. So the Rambam clearly learns that there is no lav among the Taryag mitzvahs. It seems like he's saying it's a dirabbonon, and the pasuk is nesmachta. So there is an issur dirabbonon, seemingly, according to the Rambam, to be machzik the machlekes, but not an issur deraisa. Okay? The Ramban is not so happy with this. The Ramban argues in the Rambam. The Ramban on the side says, Aval akosav ha'acher, shetof asol v'rav boy, v'leyech chekoyach uchadosai. We'll drop down. He just basically requotes the Rambam. He does not like the way the Rambam explains the pasuk. Rather, he says, rather, the pshat of the pasuk is that Hashem told Moshe to take the copper shovels that were used for the ketores and to hammer them into plates to cover the mizbeach, to remind Bnei Israel of two things. Number one, shalikar v'zor lahakdir ulahakriv carbon. Number one, that a zor cannot just show up and be makter keteres or bring a carbon. And v'shalayach legamkein shum adam al kunas haren. Second of all, future people should not come along and try to challenge the kahuna of Aaron. Lemer ki leoizmei is Hashem, to claim it was not from Hashem. Ushnei eile, these two things, meyoizim amur v'derech hazikarein, because they're mentioned as a reminder, heim minyois. They are meant as deterrence. Kiderech al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es ginanoshe, like we find after the Malach dislocated Yaakov's thigh. So the Torah says, therefore b'nei Yisrael cannot eat the ginanoshe. Uchiderech asher lo yavoid boy v'lo yizireya. And also the pasuk in Barashas Shoftim, where it talks about where you do an egla arufa, it says a land that will not be worked and will not be planted. Okay. So he's saying it's more of a minia, it's an abstention, but it's not a lav. In other words, because it's a zikon, it's a reminder, it's saying because you'll have this copper coating on the mizbeach, that will remind Bnei Yisrael not to repeat what Korach and his Eda did. So the Torah is not like the Rambam says, that the earth-swallowing incident will not occur again. Rather, says Ramban, the pshat is that By putting this copper coating, this copper covering on the Mizbeach, you will not have, it will remind Bnei Yisrael that they should not repeat Korach's errant ways. But either way, whichever way you slice it, both according to the Rambam and according to the Ramban, it's not a lav. Okay, the Ramban says that this idea of the Rambam, that he teaches the pasuk, that in the future it will not occur to future challengers of the Kahuna an earth-swallowing experience, but rather tzaras. He says that's not the pasuk shana. The pasuk, that's a drasha. Okay. Now, if you drop down over here to the second, or say drop down, if you move over to the left column, so the Ramban continues the MS. If you see it, there's a bunch of underlined lines. The MS kimasha amar b'gemara Sanhedrin kol amachzik b'machloikis oyver b'loy sase. True. The Gemara Sanhedrin says that whoever maintains, hold on to a machlokes, is transgressing a loy sase, shenemar v'loyiyach ha-koyach, al derech toichocha hu, that's just a derech toichocha. Okay, it's like a rebuke and a warning. Aval ikir ha-kos v'machzik machlokes ha-kahuna b'vad, but the main thrust of the pasuk is just that one is talking about arguing, challenging the kahuna. And Chazal were saimich against other types of of machlekes from the pasuk, but it's not really a dairaisa. So both the Rambam and the Ramban hold that this is not a dairaisa. The Ramban holds that the pasuk is coming to talk about that future people should avoid challenging the kahuna of Aaron. I don't think the Ramban himself is even learning that it's a lav against challenging the kahuna of Aaron. It's just saying that the Bnei Israel should be reminded not to challenge the kahuna of Aaron. Yesh ladan if the Ramban means to say that it's actually a lav, but certainly the Ramban is saying that there's no lav in general to have a machloikis. Now again, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos itself, when he talks about the lav of loises goydidu, right? So everyone knows loises goydidu is the lav against agudais, right? That's why you can't have one minion putting on tefillin and not putting on tefillin on Chol Hamoed, which by the way is a very debatable bizman hazeh. But in any event, in that context, the Rambam says, the Gemara says in Yevamis that included in this lava loises goyidu is that you should not have multiple batei din within one city having different minhagim. Okay, I'm not getting involved in that sugi. That's a whole sugi unto itself. Maybe when we get to parshas for a, we'll talk about it. It's a very very fascinating sugi. V'chein omram hamachzik machloik is over belav. And the Rambam throws in here also in the context of loises goydidu, of not being agudes, that you should not have. And the Rambam holds that the reason for loises goydidu is that there should not be an increase of machloikis. The chenamim amazik be machloikis oyer belav shenemar veloyiach koyrach uchadosoi who gamken al tzad hadrash onam guvid the grove bala hafchid. But the actual pasuk of loyiach koyrach is just coming la hafchid to scare you. Yeah.
I saw this morning that in the first Aliyah of this week's Parsha, when it says that Moshe went and called to Dosan Vaviram after the whole issue, Rashi there says, Mikan Shei Machziki B'machlokes.
Right.
So it's not until in later on the Pesukim say, Lo Yeh Kikarach V'cha Adosam. Rashi seems to be learning that there was the action of Moshe that sort of reached out to Dasan Vaviram to not
correct
try to make peace.
You are correct. So the Gemara that you got frozen out of. That's all right. Brings down both. I'll just go back here for a second. Now, you're making a fair point, which hopefully we'll see later, and that is why does the Gemara need both? It's a very strange Gemara, if you think about it. If you stop to think about it. The Gemara starts off and says that you see from Moshe, you can't be machzik in a machlekes. I'll bring you proof. There's a pasuk that makes it into a lav. Whether it's actually a lav or it's an asmachta, it's just a strange shock of atariyah.
Right.
You know, either pasuk should be sufficient, especially insofar as if it's just an asmachta. So more about that later.
Yeah. Sorry, I guess I missed that one when it was frozen.
Yeah, that's what I said. I already justified your missing it before I went back. I don't want to be masik machlekes, you know. So I just want to resolve the issue. Okay, so the Rambam again clearly says that pasuk is a drash. It's not the ikar pasuk. It's not actually a lav. Okay, now we come over here. The Ramban counts what he believes are mitzvahs that the Rambam left out. Okay, if you have ever gone through Sefer HaMitzvahs, you know the Ramban has his glosses on the Rambam, where he disagrees with certain things the Rambam did count, and he has a separate section where he counts the mitzvahs he believes the Rambam left out. All right, and he says Novi b'tashlumin shava esrei mitzvahs lo yisaseh shekasavnu mishichas harav. He says, I'm going to count over here 70 lois haseis that the Rambam left out, v'nimna halav and aboim, and I'm going to count the following lavin. Okay, and he goes through a whole listing over here. And if you drop down, he says, v'loyie chikoyrach, that he says that indeed, loyie chikoyrach is a lav. Okay, so the Ramban over here does indeed count v'loyiach hakoyach as a lav. However, the Ramban, we saw already before, holds that this lav is not a lav against machlokes in general, but rather it is a lav against arguing on the kahuna. Okay, so the Ramban holds that indeed the v'loyiach hakoyach is a lav, but it's not a lav against machlokes, it's a lav against challenging the kahuna. So far we don't really have any Rishonim who hold that there is an actual lav against machlokes. However, comes along Rabbeinu Yonah and Shaar Gimel when he goes through his count of the mitzvahs and he says, V'loyiach hakoyach v'chadosai amar Rabbi Yisrael z'chroinim levracho kol amachzik v'machlokes oivir belav. Shenemar, V'loyiach hakoyach v'chadosai. So Rabbeinu Yonah seemingly counts it as a lav. And then he continues the very important line that's going to haunt us and that many people probably like to hang up on their wall because it's one of those cherry-picked statements that people use for all sorts of damage. Umutra l'saper loshen hara al bal machlokes. There you go. You know? So that's it. You know? Just cut and paste that onto whatever you like. You're allowed to say loshen hara on a person who's a bal machlokes. Again, he brings a raya. Shenemar v'liani avlecho l'tzadak ha-koyin u'libinyo b'nyayodo l'shem avlecho loikaro. He's bringing a raya, once again, from the story of Adonia. Adonia attempted to usurp the monarchy from Shlomo during David's lifetime, and in Melachim Aleph, it's a whole story over there, that Natan HaNavi went to Bathsheba, and they made a whole scheme, they went to David to inform David that Adonio is trying to usurp the monarchy away from Shlomo, and the whole Maisa. So over there, clearly, Natan basically said Lashon Hara on Adonio, because he said, V'liani Avdecha, me, your servant, Nasan, Ulet Sadek, and to Ben Yoho, and to Shlomo, Adonio did not invite to that party. Okay, and the whole story. So the Rabbi Yonah brings the Raya that Nasan Anavi was allowed to tell David about it because Adonio was creating Machlaikis, Shoinemol. He's trying to take over the monarchy when he's not supposed to. Now, it's interesting, it's not our discussion now, Mechayra, you could say, that it's for a Toyeles, for him to tell David, because David needed to make sure that Shlomo would become the next king. So what's the raya that you're allowed to say Lashon Hara and Abal Machlokes? Maybe it wasn't Lashon Hara at all. It was for Tayelas. I don't know. But like upon him, that is what Rabbeinu Yonah said.
Why would we even define something as Lashon Hara if it is Tayelas? At that point,
That's my point. It's pretty clear from the Paiskin that if it's Tayelas, it's not shot that you have a heter of Lashon Hara. It's not considered Lashon Hara.
It's the fact that you're talking at that point and you're doing something for Toelis, and now therefore it's no longer Lashon Hara.
Correct.
And therefore you have a purpose of discussing. If you try to get, this happens all the time in any organizational work. You discuss things and correct. Situations, and it's not because you want to speak bad about the people. It's more for Toelis purposes.
Ever. Right. No one ever spoke Lashon Hara ever, because any Lashon Hara ever spoken since Bias Olam was for Toelis. But
I didn't say that. I said on a organizational level, a lot of times you're discussing things for a Toelis purpose.
Yeah, I understand. That's my point. In other words, I'm not sure. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to say that there's a heter to speak Lashon Hara for a Baal Machlokes. In other words, I'm saying I don't see the raya from the case of Adonia, because Ein Lecha Toelis Gedoy LeMizu, that David needs to be made aware that someone is trying to take away the crown, right? I mean, Hagatzmacha, the Gemara's raya that you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara for Tayelas and that you have to listen if it's relevant to you is from the story of Gedalia. And what was the story? There was an assassination plot to kill him. Gedalia was the ruler. So it's not exactly, but it's a very close analogy that Adonia wasn't trying to assassinate David. That was Avshalom's job. But Adonia was trying to usurp the monarchy after David would die away from Shlomo, who was the rightful heir. So I would think in lecha tayelas gedoy lemizu, and that being the case, what's the raya about saying lashon hara on a bal machlokes? Tzarich Ian, I don't know. I'm just pointing it out. But be that as it may, Rabbeinu Yonah is laying down a halacha. You're allowed to say lashon hara about a bal machlokes. Okay. Now, before everyone goes running off saying lashon hara on every person whom they deem to be a bal machlokes, go through Hilchas Chofetz Chaim. It's no simple matter. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda continues, Misha Eina Machzik B'machlekes Al Mesiyatzim Al Derech Leitoyv U'Moshchi Alvim, one who does not maintain a fight against those who are Baalei Aveira, Harei U'Nenosh Mipesheim L'Chol Chataisim, he will be punished for their iniquities and their sins. Okay, this is another halacha that you're allowed to fight against those who are Baalei Aveira. Again, another one of those great Hetairim that people cherry pick and abuse. You know, obviously it's been used properly many times throughout history, and obviously it's been used improperly many times throughout history. So for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to go waving this Rabbeinu Yonah around when they start a machlekes with anyone whom they deem to be a Baal Aveiro, obviously is no simple matter. It has to be done properly. Okay? All right. Now, interestingly enough, the Chafetz Chaim, those who learn the Chafetz Chaim daily program should have come across this recently in the last week or so, when the Chafetz Chaim last 2 weeks in his introduction to Chafetz Chaim, the Halach is he makes an accounting of all the lavin and essen and klolis that a person can be over if he speaks lashon hara. Okay, and one of them is imumarzik b'machloikis on yedei sipuroi. If one is holding on to machloikis through his lashon hara, oyver oy alav loyeh chakayrach uchadasai shu as hara. That's a lav shu lahachzik b'machloikis k'deis the Sanhedrin. Now this line is problematic because we just saw that most rishonim hold that it's not really a lav. So the Chafetz Chaim really kind of admits that, and he brings down the Gemara and he says va'ayim b'smag uver Rabbeinu Yoino shu lav gomer. Then he says, but I am safer mitzvahs over Ramban Shom. Okay, so the Chafetz Chaim kind of admits that it's not a lav according to everyone. It's only a lav according to the Smag and Rabbeinu Yoino. But according to the Rambam and the Ramban, it's not a lav, at least not a lav deraisa. It may well be a lav midrabona. Okay, I'm going to skip over all the raid on the bottom over here. But there is obviously a lot to talk about over here as far as this machloikis. Okay, so what comes out is like this. According to the Meiri, it's not a lav. It's just what he calls derech ha'ara. Gemara wants to point out, it's something that you need to avoid. According to the Rambam, it's an asmachta. According to the Ramban, it is a lav against challenging the kahuna. And Chazal extended it, seemingly midrabanon, against machlekes in general. According to Rabbeinu Yoino, and the Chofetz Chaim says according to the Smag, it is a lav gomor in the Torah. I'm going to skip over this over here, but over here you have a lengthy piece from the Chofetz Chaim about when you could indeed go ahead and fight with people and so on if it's for a mitzvah and so on. I think we could suffice it to say that to start a machlokes with someone is no simple matter, and all other avenues have to be explored first, even by a Baal Aveira. Chofetz Chaim makes very clear in Sefer Chofetz Chaim that even if you have a Baal Aveira, there's a whole host of conditions that have to be checked off before you actually start up with someone. Okay, because we are short on time, I'm going to jump around a little bit. Here we come to the famous Mishnah. Kol machlokes shehi l'shem shamayim, seifa l'hiskayim. Any machlokes that's l'shem shamayim, it is seifa l'hiskayim. V'she'ein l'shem shamayim, v'sna l'shem shamayim, ain't seifa l'hiskayim, it will not last. Ezi machlokes shehi l'shem shamayim, z'u machlokes hilu v'shamay, v'she'ein l'shem shamayim, z'u machlokes koryach v'chol adosay. Okay, says the Rav, k'loymar sh'ad shem machlokes ahim miskayim v'ein an oivdim. The Rav says that means that the people who are involved in the machlokes will last and they will not be destroyed. The people were not lost, and so we have the students of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel who continued in the fine traditions of their teachers. Okay, what it means is not that the people, but rather the final point and what is sought after from this machlekes will last. He explains. The machlekes shi l'shem shemayim, hatachos v'asoyf mevukesh me'oiz machlekes lehasig ha'emes, is to obtain truth. V'zem eskayim, that will last. K'mon she'omer mitoich ha'vikuach izbar ha'emes, that because from the argument the truth will be clarified. V'chomayshin izbar b'machlekes hilo v'shamayish halocha k'beis hilo. Machlekes shein l'shem shemayim, Tachlus Hanirtzeba Hi Bakoshas Hasrara Ba'avas Hanitzuach. What is a Machlekes is not Lashem Shemayim? What is the ultimate goal of Machlekes? Is power and the love of being victorious. Okay? In a fight. This ending will not last. Their goal was honor and power, or Srora is to lord over people, and they ended up the opposite. Now, over here, whoever put these Mar Mekoymes together has a whole lot of Mar Mekoymes, a lot of raid about, you know, you've probably heard a lot of it already, about different Yukim in the Mishnah and so on and so forth. I'm going to skip over it because I want to get to some more practical raid on the nature of this lav. Okay, we have over here another Gemara. Again, this is a pretty well-known Gemara in Masechta Erevin, and the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Abba, Amar Shmuel. For 3 years, there was a machlekes b'shamay b'shilol. Each side said, halacha follows us. Yatza baskal v'amra elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. Famous words. Both of these opinions are the words of the living God. The halacha ki b'shilol, but the halacha follows like b'shilol. V'chimiyach she'elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. If both are correct, mipnei ma'azachu b'shilol l'kvay halacha k'maysan. Why were Beis Hillel zeichet to have the halacha like them? Mipnei shenoichin va'aluvin hayu, because they were calm and they were forbearing. V'shonin divreim v'shamay, and when they would say over the opinions, they would say over both their opinion and that of v'shamay v'le'oid el shemakdimin divrei v'shamay l'divreim. They would precede the words of v'shamay to their own words. Okay, that was Beis Hillel. So I'll leave the Moser Shmuzin for someone else, or at least for some other time. Whoops. But it's worthwhile just to see a Ritva over here. The Ritva says as follows. Sha'alu Rabbonei Tzarfazal. The French rabbis asked the following question. The Ritva, as I'm sure you know, was a Spanish Rishon. He lived, I believe, during the 1300s, early 1300s, late 1200s in Spain. And he says that the French Rabbonim, basically the Bali Taisvis, asked the following question: Heich efshar sheyu shneim divrei elokim chayim? How can they both be right? Vize oyser vize matir. Right? This is the famous joke. Two people come to the Rav, and they have a dentira, and Reuven presents his side of the story, and the Rav says, you're right. And then Shimon presents his side of the story, and the Rav says, you're right. And they leave. And then the Rebbetzin comes in and says, how can they both be right? And he says, you're also right. So this is a kasha, actually, in the Rishonim. V'tirtzu ki kisha'ol ha'moshe l'amor v'makabal Torah, v'moshe v'nam t'shamayim to be makabal the Torah, heru ha'yal kol davar v'davar mem tes ponim l'iser u'mem tes ponim l'heter. Every single shayla they showed him in Shamayim, there are 49 ways to slant it l'iser and 49 ways l'heter. V'shal l'ha'kodesh baruch hu, and if you don't believe me, just, you know, when any of these shilas come out, Moshe, when they had the bugs in the water shila, all you had to do was go to Shul Bain Gavra Lagavra, hopefully just then, and you would have heard at least 49 punim, both Leisir and Leheter, from the people in the Shul. The Omar, Sheyeheze Moshe Lechachme Yisrael Shebehold Arvadar. Sorry, but the guy sitting next to you is not the one who's going to decide. It's given over to the Chachamim of every door to decide which tzad makes the most sense. And the decision follows them. And he says, Alpi Kabbalah, there is a very deep secret behind this. Okay. In any event, what is relevant to our discussion is that both angles are correct, and the Chachamim decide which one makes the most sense in that dart. Okay. So let's continue on over here. What we have to figure out a little bit over here is how to understand the Gemara, and practically speaking, what is the gather of this lav, whether it's an actual lav or just an asmachta, against the machlekes. How do you define it? So let's see. The Birchas Avram, Shlita, Rev Avram Erlanger, he brings down this Gemara, And he says, Hine Nira Poshet, Shemishach Averi Oysa Machloikis Kenegdoi. Someone who his friend is making Machloikis against him, the Einu Hoylich Lebal Machloikis Lefaisoi, and he doesn't go to that guy to try to calm him down. Einu Oiver Belav. He's not Oiver and Alav. What he's bothered with is as follows. The Gemara says that Rish Lakish said, Rish Lakish said, you see from Moshe that you can't maintain a machlekes because Moshe went to try to be mafayis dosan and avira, and the Gemara brings Rav called machzik b'machlekes over b'lav to back it up. So if you take the Gemara at face value, it sounds like the Gemara is saying that if someone starts up with you and you don't try to defuse the situation, you're over on this lav. So he says it can't be. How can you say that if someone else picked the fight with me, I didn't do anything, and I don't go and try to be mafayis the guy, you know, for whatever his claims are, that I'm over on a lav? I'm not the one fighting, and I'm not trying to fight. If I'm keeping my mouth shut, that's not called being machzik b'machlekes. There's like Paul about the levato machlekes. That's not called holding on to machlekes. That's called not trying to stop the machlekes. But I'm not actively encouraging it. But that being the case with Akasha, that means Moshe Rabbeinu was already going beyond the letter of the law. How can the Gemara prove that you're not allowed to encourage, maintain a machlekes from Moshe if clearly Moshe went beyond the letter of the law? The chiddush goes over. It's very hard to believe that you're obligated to do whatever you possibly can to stop someone else from attacking you if you haven't done anything, and if not, you're over on this lav. What it means is, you should not necessarily attempt to show that you're right. It means that one should avoid trying to stand up and show within the machlekes that he's right, if that will encourage the continuation of the machlekes. Even that's a chiddush. One would think that if a person knows that he's right, there's no reason for him to bend down in front of his friend. Because you don't want to leave a breach you don't want to have a breach that calls out to a ganav. Okay, you don't want to create a situation. That this guy is starting a fight and he's making fun of someone who didn't do anything wrong, and you're going to just leave it and it becomes hefker, and someone can make whatever accusations or pick whatever fights he wants, and no one stops him. But so from this, they prove from Moshe that it's not the proper conduct. Okay, he continues. Ve'heviyu siyua mirav. And the Gemara brings a proof from Rav that Machzik the Machloek is Oiver Belav. Hainu, what does that mean? The Gamim Atzadik Itoi, even if the person's right, Ela Machzik the Machloek is, he should still not hold on to Machloek is. Avol Ein B'Divrei Rav Chiyuv L'Fayis is Baal Machloek is. But there's no indication in Rav that he has an obligation to appease the other side. Rak L'Hamshich Mitzidei L'Chazik HaMachloek is, just that he should not attempt from his side to encourage the machloikis. Shuvar isi, the cause of the sefer, chamra v'chayik, ala machzik b'machloikis, al v'shadin imoy oivir b'lav, that anyone who holds on to machloikis, even though he's correct, is oivir on a lav, miyu mashma legam chayv lelich alabez, he said that it's mashma that he also has to go to the other party. So he says that that's what it says in the sefer chamra v'chayik, I'm not sure who wrote sefer chamra v'chayik, but he himself says that it's very hard to say that. Now,
can you clarify that point? Because it clearly people who do hold on, and I think just from a grudge perspective, or they hold on to something, it's because they feel that the other side is mistaken or wrong, and
of course
they're not willing to budge. Or
why would you have a machlokes if you didn't hold the other side was wrong?
No, but the point is, let's say there's something going on and that other side is not willing to see your side. So I think it's pretty hard to just say, okay, forget it, I'm just moving on. I don't think most, or at least I'm not like that. I'm being honest here, you know. Okay. most people don't just walk away because they're not getting to the other side. They try to get through to the other side because it's an important issue to them, especially if it's L'Shem Shemayim.
Yeah, of course. It's always L'Shem Shemayim.
No, but in reality, that's why I'm having a hard time understanding this. You're saying,
I think the point he's making is this.
Hold on to something, it's not
one,
a good
thing. The point thing is this. Once you've stated your position and the other side is not budging, then to continue to state your position in such a way that will fan the flames of the dispute is inappropriate. Okay? It doesn't mean you have to back down. It means you don't have to walk around telling everyone in the world about why you're correct.
No, that I get, but I'm saying with that person to, okay.
I mean, if you see how different people conduct disagreements, you know, over non L'Shem Shemayim type matters or non-Torah type matters, you have people who go around telling the whole world why they're right and the other side's wrong. And that does not call the machlokes in the slightest, it just drags more people into it. And then you have people who state their position, and that's it. And they move on with life. And, you know, they don't have a need to go in and rehash the whole machlokes to everyone. You know, and that's it. So I think that's the point over here. By stating and restating, and you keep making the point to everyone, you know, who's willing to listen, and even those who are not, all you're doing is fanning the flames of the machlokes. You're not going to mitigate it. All right? Okay. Okay. Now he brings in over here the whole machlekes.
So Rabbi Fleischer, sorry, one more second. Then how does one conclude a machlokes if you never get, I guess, validation or ending point?
Well,
I think a lot of times people will bring it to a third party because they want. Understand. Sometimes they'll do it because it's lahachas, but sometimes they'll bring it because they want to
bring it. If you want to bring it to a third party for resolution, both sides have to agree to that. Very often, that's not the case, and both sides just continue fighting. But you don't have
When I say a third party, I don't mean like the third party intervenes and says, okay, let's sit down. What I mean is I go to a third party because I say, you know, this is how I see it. This is how this person sees it. Often how I'm thinking? Maybe that person will say, yeah, you're often how you're thinking.
It would depend on what the motive or what the plan is for bringing it to the third party. Sometimes they go to a third party, you want to hear their thoughts and you want to hear how they view it so that you can have a broader view of this machlekes. Maybe you're wrong. But
right.
I have to go on. So I'll just say this and we'll be mamshech. Very often when you go to the third party, you're just going there because you want validation. Not you, a person is going there for validation of his point. And even the person says, you know, you're wrong. They'll just blow that person off also and say, oh, you don't understand. And they'll move on to the next person until they find someone who backs them up. And then all hell breaks loose because you just keep dragging more and more people into it because you want to be right. So if you indeed have a machlekes where you're involving a third party because you truly want to hear an objective third opinion and perhaps you're wrong, that's one thing. But very often, you know, one side or the other is just interested in validating himself and proving himself right. And
so let's say it starts out as you want to hear honest opinions, it becomes the secondary thing because.
Right. So then you have, you know, you have the Aishas Poitifar syndrome. I started off with L'Shem Shemayim and somewhere along the way it went off the rails. That happens all the time also. Yes, of course, you know, people. There's a famous joke / vart that the Velt says. The Gemara said, Rashi said, parashas Tamar, the parashas Eishes Potifar, right? Why is the story of Tamar next to Eishes Potifar? Just like Tamar was Mechavin L'Shem Shemayim, Eishes Potifar was also Mechavin L'Shem Shemayim. What's the difference? Tamar, when she saw that in order to achieve her goal, she would have to do the wrong thing, she threw up her arms and said to Shemayim, you know, that's it. If I have to die rather than embarrass Yehuda, I will die because that was the right thing to do. Even though her whole goal was to have children from Yehuda, okay, it was L'Shem Shemayim. But when push came to shove and it was no longer L'shem Shemayim, she stopped. Eshes Potifar, when push came to shove, did not stop and let her personal, desires get involved. So, you know, the Velt says, what's, you know, they say that a joke that the Mashgiach, you know, he's saying, Voshigiven the Chilik Tzivishin, Eshes Potifar, und Tamar, what is the difference? Tamar gelernt Musser, Eshes Potifar, Nish gelernt Musser, right? So you hear that joke and you have this picture in your head of like Tamar sitting down every night with him, Mesilas Hasharim, you know, learning Musar. The pshat is, Tamar, you know, whether she actually learned Musar or not, the point is, she kept, you know, she kept her goal in mind, this is L'shem Shemayim, and she didn't let her personal feelings get involved. Eishes Baitivar did. And so in any machlekes, even if it starts L'shem Shemayim, it's a very slippery slope. And it's an extremely slippery slope, because it's very difficult not to let the personal get involved. L'shem Shemayim means there is no personal feelings involved at all. Okay, I skipped over it, but one of the major mefarshim say, why is it say machlekes Shammai and Hillel? What about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So they say, only Shammai and Hillel were on such a madrega that they had no personal tzad whatsoever in their machlekes. Once you got to Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, as great as they were to actually testify that they had no personal interest, a ki who's that, not even a smidgen, the Mishnah can't testify to that. Only Hillel and Shammai themselves. Okay? So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the members of that, of those two yeshivas, great as they were, to say they had nothing personal whatsoever, das nisht. You know, so you know, every machlekes, a person has to be brutally honest, which is nigh well impossible without an objective third party, you know, that I'm doing this only L'shem Shammai. Okay? And with that, I'm going to leave it. Otherwise, we could sit here discussing this forever, which I don't want to do. Okay, so the Birchas Avram continues, and he says, "Uviker lav ze nechlo rishonim im lav im ze lav gomer." It's a lav gomer. I'm a Chavetz Chaim bepsicha monezah ben halavin. He counts among halavin because of the smag mano ben halavin. He says that the smag counts it as well. V'chein Rabbeinu Yoina b'shar tshuva avoloikin because of a Rambam b'sefer haMitzvos. I'm b'shar shches shekosav shezeh altan asmachto. It's not smachta. Loi sheyeh pashtei dekro bekavona hazoyis. Not that that's the pashtus of the pasuk. Well, there's a kosav shezeh al tzara drash. The Rambam Sefer HaMitzvah says it's a drasha. Avol gufa dekro hu lahavchid ein shav. Rambam b'sharoshim pirish the Israel lachlik al kahuna. The Rambam learns that it's actually a lav to challenge the kahuna of ein shav Megillas Esther. Okay, ule Rambam ule Rambam. This is the question. They both seem to say it's nasmachta. So is it actually an isud rabbanon, or is it midah meguna v'lo yisur? Or do they just mean, Chazal saying, it's a midah meguna, it's a bad thing to do, but it's not a lav. Al-Kaponim, l'smag, u'rabin yoyna, hava isud gomer deraisa. It's clear that it is an isud deraisa according to those opinions. Okay? He continues, Venir Damashim, I'm jumping down over here. Venir Damashim, Barambam, Sheino Isser Gomor, Shal Machlaikis Gam Midrabonon. It's not an Isser Gomor of Machlaikis, even Midrabonon, Dimkino Yechayv Lahazkir Isser Yad HaChazaka, because if that were the case, he should have mentioned his Isser Drabonon in his Yad HaChazaka in the Mishnah Torah, and he does not. Okay? Ubal Korach Rakim in the Maguna, for the fact that the Rambam does not mention it in his Mishnah Torah. It's muchach, it's just a bad midah. Uva divrei musr ain't daki lehevi akol. Ram is not putting down all divrei musr in his yara chazaka. Ukvar kavu chazal b'mas nisim, the avay shemachloik is karyach b'chom dosoi, lehoish lo shem shemayim, lefizeh l'chayr ein oichocha mehalav, el rabbi mishem machzik in machloik is lechvoid atzmai mishpachtoi umaflugosoi, with something, okay? According to this lechayr, that means that there's only oichocha from this lav. There's someone who would hold on to a machlekes shaloi l'shem shemayim. Ava misha ois the machlekes l'shem shemayim ain't I call a belav shaloi kein ois the machlekes l'koyach. Because that was not the nature of the machlekes l'koyach. So even if you hold like Rabbeinu Yoina and the smag and it's a full-fledged lav, that's only a lav if you do a machlekes like koyach, which is not l'shem shemayim. Okay, but if it is l'shem shemayim, then it's not included in the lav in the first place. Okay, jumping down again. Then he continues, Omnam like he near me a gemara, it's not mashma down the gemara, dim can abli lemeimar, kol ha-masak ha-machlekes, shaloi l'shem shemayim. V'nir da-kavona inam ha-fechas ha-samayisim l'mayisah acher. It would seem that once kavona does not change the act to a different act, And it would seem to be included in Machlekes, even if it's L'shem Shemayim. So he's kind of asking a question over here, that from the Gemara, it's Mashma, any Machlekes is included. Omnom, Nege Mishu, Rosh, Parik, Oil, Mekalkel, Kla Yisrael, Chiyetzibay. Someone who's a Rasha, or he's Parik, Oil, or he's ruining Kla Yisrael. Adir Matzinu, Mitzvah, Lashes, Machlekes, Nege, it's a Mitzvah, Ein Shari Tshuva, Misha, Ein, Machzik, Machlekes, he quotes the whole Shari Tshuva. Okay, so that is the Birchas Avram. So he seems to say that L'chayra, all you would see from the Psukim is that it's an Isser, even if you want to lav the Reis, that's only Isser, Shaloy L'Shem Shemayim. But he says the Gemara is not so mashma like that. Okay, jumping ahead over here, I want to, we're short on time, but I wanted to show you in the time we have a very interesting piece. We're not going to have time to go through the whole piece. I'm not sure who this is, but it's a sefer called Ma'ar L'Tayra. Let me just, well, give me 1 second. Yeah, I'm not sure who it is, but the sefer Ma'ar L'Tayra, he has a whole bunch of kashas over here. But let's just see quickly over here what we have time to see. And he asks some kashas. He says like this, V'l'chayra, right here, where the hand is, Divrei HaRamban T'unim Bir. The words of Ramban need explanation. The entire Isser of making Machlekes is learned from here. We learn it from, the Gemara learns it from that Moshe went to Dasan and Aviram. According to the Ramban, at the Pasuk is just coming to tell you not to challenge Kahuna. How do we understand the Gemara that Moshe went to Dasan and Aviram not to maintain a Machlek? It's very Moshe lecholak ala Kahuna. Moshe wasn't arguing on the Kahuna. Elam Dasan and Aviram, there's no Isser. Okay, so he goes back and forth. Moshe was machmir on himself, and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is that he doesn't have a great answer. Okay, there's also a whole discussion over here about whether Moshe was allowed to be machmir on himself if it's zaken ve'enoi lefi chvaydai. But because I'm short on time, I'm just gonna jump ahead. Ulay yesh leimar shezeh gufa Rish Lakish b'leimar. Maybe Rish Lakish is gufa coming to teach us shehat Torah chidsha sheyesh chiv al rav limchol al kevaydai. And Rashi seems to back that up. There's the chiyav on a rav to be moichel on his kavod, not to hold on to machlekes. Ve'ein ze shayach lesugya in ba'al mayochel rav limchol al kevaydai. And this has nothing to do with the general sugya of whether in general a rav is allowed to be moichel on his kavod. The oyd yesh tut maya dihine harabenu yoyna b'shari tshuva chil gimel sif nun ches kosav sheyesh lav al kol echad mi Yisrael ba'asiyas machlekes. That you have an obligation to fight against those who are Bali Avera. Okay? So he asks, Right? Famous Rashi, doesn't Avirim clearly fit the bill for Rishoyim. The other Abayesh mitzvah is l'hiskoyti imam, there's a mitzvah to fight with them. So forget about what raya you're bringing from Maisha, doesn't Avirim. L'chayr, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Maisha had a chiv to go ahead and fight with them because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk calls them Rishoyim. So he says like this. He has a big chiddush over here.
There are two distinct isurim.
There's one isur to create a machlekes. Their whole point was to fight on the kahuna. That to create a machlekes is only against kahuna. B'chemosh kosef haramban. Ulam, however, yeshnei oid iser noisef ushalei lahachzik machlekes. It's another iser not to maintain a machlekes. V'hainu shegam b'mokem shehu lo yotzer es machlekes. Even if you didn't create it, ela hatzad shekenegdei poal v'yotzer esa. Someone else started up with you. Afal piken
mutl of chiyuv asay leleches letzad shekenegdoi ulevatol zemachloikis. You have an obligation to try and stop it. V'zen nilman b'moishah shaholach ledosan v'aviram. This one from Moshe who went dosan v'aviram. Uchad b'pirush Rashi shehu ba'atzman holach levatol zemachloikis. V'din zanemar b'chol echam Yisrael. So he wants to make classic two dinim. There's one answer to start a machloikis. That's only to challenge kahuna. So now he explains the Gemara very gishmak. V'nira shadvarim midukdokim b'loshna Gemara. Dibchila amra Gemara b'shem Rish Lakish. Shemei apostik v'yikach Moshe v'yelech al dosan v'aviram. Loimdim she'ein machzik b'machloikis. From there you learn that you can't maintain a machloikis. That is one din. V'alzeh hevia Gemara raya midivrei Rav. And on this, the Gemara brought a raya from Rav she'omar kol machzik b'machloikis oivri b'lav. The Gemara brought a raya from Rav that whoever maintains a machloikis oivri b'lav she'nemar. Like it says, v'loyeh ha'koyach u'chadosei. V'advorm tzrichim beer. This is why I mentioned at the outset of the earlier in the shir, the Gemara needs beer. First, we learn the answer from Vayikach Moshe. So, which is it? Is there shalai lasa is machlekes? One is not to create a machlekes. Who nilmad mi v'loiya kekayach? That we learn from there should not be like kayach. V'yeshne oidiser shalai lahachzik machlekes. Who nilmad mi v'yokam Moshe? He doesn't explain thoroughly exactly what the shak of the Gemara is. The Gemara seems to be feeding one into the other. At the end of the day, it's still not miyushuv the Gemara. The Gemara is still not miyushuv because it's still two different dinim. So why does the Gemara seem to back one up with the other? That's not so clear. But al kapanim, it's two different dinim. And maybe the Gemara is just saying that you see the idea machloikis from these psukim. Now he concludes the me'ata yisyashu gam divei harabinu yoina the chol mashakosav besif munches sheyesh mitzvah lehiskoidet and misha sor mi'aderech kol zebes yachis lemashakosav mikoidem lochem besif nunzayin sheyesh itzur laso is machloikis. The iser to fight with someone is an iser to make a machloikis. Nilman mi v'loyeh kekoyrach u'biyarnu le'el shafosik zem midaber ba'asiyas machloikis. That's creating a machloikis. There is a mitzvah to fight with him. But there's not a mitzvah to maintain. He's making a very, very interesting paradigm over here. You are allowed to start up with him, but not to keep fighting. Rather, you should try to resolve it. It's a mitzvah to despise him. So he seems to be saying that you're allowed to start up with the Rasha who's doing Averis, but exactly how you start that machlaikis, you have to use your chachma. In other words, you can't keep fighting and maintain a machlaikis, but you could start it and then try to resolve it afterwards to try to get him to do tshuva. Honestly, it's not so gishmak what he's saying. I don't think it really resolves the issue because what good is it to start a machlekes if you just drop it right away afterwards? The guy is not going to stop. Elamai, you try to convince him, and he says if he doesn't listen, then you have a mitzvah to hate him, but you can't keep fighting. So what's the whole point? Not so clear to me. I do want to just conclude over here with a she'iltis that is quite relevant to our discussion over here. He brings down a she'iltis. Behine bebir shayish isra ba'asiyas machlekes machinu b'she'iltis parashas koyach. The shilta of Rabbi Choy, shekosav ezel l'shoinai, the aser lahayin lebeis Yisrael lemevad plukta. It's aser for Beis Yisrael to make a machlekes. The kivin the kaimi beplukta also lemisna adavi. They're going to end up hating each other. The Omer Achmano leisisna as achicha bilvavecha. The Torah says you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Not only does the smaller person have to bend to the greater, even the greater has to bend to the lesser person, like you see by Moshe. We say for Hemek Shela, and the famous Hemek Shela from the Netziv, the actual fight itself, that is not the Isser. El kol mohusa Isser hu shebesayfa shel davar yetzem yadavar sina. The problem is only if it will come out from the end hatred. Yavaral Isser shel lois Isser zechicha bilvavecha. So without going through the whole thing that he says afterwards, basically, based on this hemek shele, you can answer both kashas that he started with. Number one, how are you allowed to have a machlekes l'shem shemayim if it's included in Machlekes? And number two, how do you explain the Rabbeinu Yoina about fighting against the Rosh? So mitzvah fighting against the Rosh, you could say that it's mutter. In fact, even a mitzvah to despise a Rosh. And therefore, if the whole Isra Machlekes is only in an oifen where you're going to come to be over the Isra of Leisisnes, Lachicha, Bilvavecha, so in a case of a Rosh where you're fighting against him, it's not a problem, because on the contrary, he's not a chicha. So you're allowed to fight against him, and you're allowed to hate him, and it's even a mitzvah to hate him. And as far as the machlokes l'shem shemayim, so if it's truly machlokes l'shem shemayim, there won't be sinna. Sinna only develops in a machlokes, either if you have a mitzvah to hate him like a rasha, or if you're arguing over pshat and a gemara, and you end up hating each other, it's because you allowed it to become personal. If it's only l'shem shemayim, the gemara says clearly, in Kiddushin, Shnei Talmid Chachamim, who are fighting with each other, so they don't leave, Ad Shnasu Oyavim Zeze. So if it's truly L'Shem Shemayim, they'll become Oyavim. Okay? So that being the case, it wouldn't be included in the Isser either. Okay? L'Chayra, what comes out, even if we don't have all the answers, is that at the end of the day, to start a Machlekes is a problem. Whether it's Machlekes, whether it's the Isser Deraisa, or only the Rabbanon, or neither, maybe just a bad mitzvah, but certainly it is problematic to start a machlekes or to maintain a machlekes unless it's l'shem shemayim. And how do you, according to this, how do you determine if it's l'shem shemayim or not? If it becomes personal and you despise the person, then it is not l'shem shemayim. All right, Rabbi Isai, we'll stop here.